Hello, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Commander and Coffee, where we love all things brewing. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know about you guys, but we're just gonna roll with it. We're gonna keep that going, and we're gonna keep that energy going. So today we have Max, as always.
Good afternoon, evening, good night, morning.
Lame. And we have Kai. No.
Hey, what up?
Also known as Fervent Alchemist.
How you Kai, doing?
Tell us a little about yourself.
Yeah, I'm a CEDH player. I make CEDH content on the interwebs, and I play lots of Magic, maybe like every day, every day of the week, pretty much.
Okay. And what's your main source of content? Like, what's your main type of content?
I would say I usually just do whatever the fuck I want to do. Because that's what the advice was given to me when I first started making content, is just do whatever you want. And that's what I tend to do.
And do you love it? That's the thing.
I love it when I'm able to satisfy whatever I want to convey to the universe or the community. But yeah, I think I do love it.
And roughly how long you've been doing it?
Maybe about 2 years, I think.
Okay.
Maybe like a year and a half, because I was with the Spell Seekers before, and we were doing a lot of like stream based content, and I think that was around like COVID. I think that was around like 2020. Am I allowed to say COVID on podcasts?
Yeah.
All right, cool. But yeah, I think
that's a great question. I don't know.
Well, we're gonna find out.
But what are they gonna do? Demonetize me? I'm not monetized anyway. Fuck that.
Yeah, when we have enough subscribers to be monetized, we'll care about things like cursing on stream and whatnot. For now, the 50 people who listen to our podcast, who we're very thankful for, we'll not worry about it now.
Yeah,
yeah, no, it's fine. This also is a labor of love kind of thing. I didn't do it for the clout or anything like that. It started me and a bunch of my friends. We just quite literally were just bullshit the one day, and I'm like, we should record this, and that was it. We literally just turned on the mic and it was live. And if you saw some of our early stuff, it had even less structure than it does now. Surprising.
That is incredibly impressive, considering that I don't know what the fuck's going on half the time. I don't think any of us do, but
I just go with the flow, man.
Shuffle up, see what you draw.
I mean, yeah, that's basically what it is. You know, we just gotta go with it. You know, I can't take a mulligan, so hey, you know, whatever. Unless I lose the recording, then it's like a mulligan, and we won't get into that. But anyway, Max, what's new with you?
A lot, a little. I've recently gone through some Twitter drama or X drama, whatever it is, with a store that I used to be somewhat affiliated with. So I'm dealing with that and the ramifications of all of that going on, but for the most part, I also tried a new deck in Derevi, and I'll never go back to it. I don't know. I don't think it's well positioned right now, and I've just been having a really bad time. So I'm in a limbo space of not knowing what the fuck to do in this format right now.
When?
That's true, but it's like I have a hard time just picking up the top tier deck, but then I have an issue like not doing well or not being inspired by anything that I want to try and push to do well.
Well, what if I told you that this might be the perfect episode for you, Max?
No way.
Hi.
Oh, God. Do we have the craziest brewer in CEDH who brings the weirdest piles and wins tournaments?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The whole thing, and the thing he did not mention was Kai is one of the most... So, wait. Do you want me to continue saying Kai? I'm pausing there real quick.
Yeah, you can
keep, okay, cool. Keep just yeah. Checking. I'm like, well, I didn't ask beforehand, but that's okay. One of the most unique brewers out there to this day, in my personal opinion. I mean, would you argue with me on that?
Shit, I don't even argue.
I mean, that's fair.
So, yeah, you just
do what you want. You don't care what anybody says. You don't argue with them. They can have their opinions, and they can go fuck themselves. And you're
exactly.
Just gonna slam the spells on the table that you want, win how you want, when you want, and not give two shits.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where most of my creativity comes from, because I was an art student in college and throughout high school. So, yeah, I'm used to all that feedback.
Okay, so that's kind of like your whole MO then, is basically art student going off that and just being like, you know, I need to be unique. I need to do my thing.
Yep, exactly.
It's cool. You take an artistic expression to building your deck since,
yeah.
And it really is an art form, because I don't think half of the people in this format could come up with anything quite as innovative as the things that you've put on the table, from your Sultai Elves build to Narset. People thinking Prowess Narset is not even a card that could be contended with, or yep. could contend with the rest of the format, and you just like prove them wrong at every turn. What's the newest spicy thing that you want to bring and prove, if it's not something that's super secret?
I was going to say, you didn't see the thing that he just top forward with?
Oh, yeah. I just put out a video today, actually. It's K-9 and the Fugitive Doctor from the Doctor Who set.
That, okay. That's some spice. I know you were talking, is that Esper? I'm not familiar with the cards.
No, it's Teemer.
Yeah, Teemer. It's Teemer.
Okay. I have a lot of love for Teemer right now. I think those colors are really well positioned. If you're not playing Grixis, I think Teemer is the way to go.
Yeah, Teemer is super fun, especially because K-9 is an artifact creature dog. So you can like neoform it into Dockside, since it's like a one drop, and you can transmute artifact it into like the One Ring and stuff like that. So it's super cool.
The deck is absolutely hilarious, and I love it. I got to see it, and I was like asking him questions, and he's like, "Go ahead, find a better intuition pile." And I'm like, "All right, bet. Hold on." It's been like 3 hours, and I'm like, "There's literally nothing."
Yeah, you're the first person I actually asked to take a look at it too. So,
I need to know.
So, how do you even come up with a pile like this? Where do you start before you're able to even get into some of these wacky commanders?
Dude, I don't know. Because I'm usually inspired by like outside sources. So originally when I got into Magic the Gathering as a whole, I was playing 60 card kitchen table with my friends, and then we started playing it as a 4-player game. And my friend would show up with this vampire deck, and his vampire deck would be unbeatable, and like 60 cards, were playing like play sets of cards and stuff. It was almost like Brawl before it was even Brawl. And like, he would show up with this vampire deck, and then everybody's like, "Well, your deck's too strong, that we have to adapt." And he's like, and I'm the first person to say, "Hey, I'm gonna adapt. I'm gonna start looking on Gatherer and stuff like that." That's what I was looking on back then. I was looking on Gatherer, and I'm like, "Hey, I need a card that messes with vampires." And then me going into that niche section and looking for cards that just kill vampires opens me up to so many different things and so many different kinds of cards that I can just remember them and refer back to them when it comes to like competitive EDH and EDH, because I've had so much experience with a bunch of other wacky brews that I needed answers to. So yeah, that's usually where my head's at.
That makes a lot of sense. So like this catalog in your head that you just Rolodex through essentially.
Yeah.
And you just like snipe all the cards out of that Rolodex that just kill the meta at any given time.
Yeah, or pretty much.
Figure out your sideways way to attack whatever the meta is in your that you're going into. That's really impressive. Mm-hmm. That's a skill that I definitely don't think a lot of players have, and people should just spend more time looking at random shit on Gatherer. My friend Will Ostel does that too. We go on road trips to tournaments, and literally for like hours, he just like types in a specific keyword or a specific phrase and just like scrolls through everything, every possible card, and just comes up with these weird ass like interactions that most people just wouldn't think of. So it's very, very similar to the way that you're building.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. Like at the time, I found my one of my favorite cards, Spellweaver Volute. It's the card. It's the weirdest card you've ever seen in your life, and it enchants an instant sorcery.
Yeah, I definitely don't know what that does. Like, what is that card?
It's like a 5-drop enchantment, and it, when it enters the battlefield, it enchants an instant or sorcery in a graveyard. And then when you cast like one of the other type, it casts the other spell for free.
So okay. It's like an Eye of the Storm type thing.
Yeah, kind of. like I don't think it'll ever see play in any deck, but it is a very like
that's like a fun card.
Yeah, it's just a very fun card, and like nobody's ever thinking of that card. That's kind of like my inspiration for most things.
So it's from Future Sight.
Yep.
It costs 3 blue. It is an enchant or enchant instant card in your graveyard. And whenever you cast a sorcery spell, copy the enchanted instant card. You may cast the copy without paying its mana cost. If you do, exile the enchanted card and attach spell your value to another instance. So it's like a weird Snapcaster Mage type thing.
Yeah, I think I was like a little off when I said instant or sorcery.
Yeah.
I was hoping it would be instant or sorcery. Because right. I haven't seen that card in a while. But yeah.
That it's you had a very similar upbringing to, I know I've mentioned it multiple times for myself on here. My playgroup, we just started playing normal Commander back in, God, it was 2012, 2011, whatever it is. And we'd get one person that would just become the spike, and then everybody else would match him, and we just gradually got bigger and bigger and bigger until we were playing CDH before it was called CDH, which is nuts. But like for personally where I get my inspiration, I literally just messaged you the other day with one. I'll actually watch Legacy content and I'll look at neat Legacy combos and I'll go, ooh, I could do that in Commander. A little harder, but like what does that with that, how can I do that? Because I mean, if a deck's effective in Legacy, it should be effective in CDH typically,
right? Like how Dargo combos with Up the Beanstalk.
Yes.
Yo, beans, we love beans. Yeah.
Dargo beans.
Play everyone play loves Dargo's beans. Just Jund Beanstalk in CDH seems really hot.
Wait, do Dargo decks actually play beans?
It's actually becoming a thing. Yeah, I've been watching a bunch of Dargo decks. My friend plays Jund Dargo, and it's super clean in there. Just getting to cast, draw another card off of every cast of Dargo is absolutely insane.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't sound like it would be like super impressive. It's just a 2-mana enchantment that gets to cantrip you a bunch, but like it does work when you're just machine casting that card over and over again. I think it's going to become a mainstay, and I think that deck's going to change to accommodate it. It might not even be like a Nos deck anymore. It might just be like Big Jund.
Or Big Beans.
Yeah, Big Beans. All right, Kai, after this, we're gonna brew Big Beans next.
Yeah, let's go.
CDH deck. Hold on, wait. Yo, can you do Naya Dargo?
Hold on. Come in. Yo, we got a quick guest appearance here from possibly the greatest CDH player on the circuit right now.
Here.
Yeah, they're all shouting you out. What's going on, Jorman? How you doing?
Good. Chilling.
You play testing some stuff today?
Yeah. Jamming some spice.
What's the newest spice you got, Jorman? Spice. Yeah, what's the secret?
Force of Despair.
All right.
Too many creature decks in this format.
The Black Force?
Yeah, that's facts. That's fast.
I mean, hey, okay. Let's play all some right. free spells are good, right? And like 3 mana instead of 4 is probably really good, right?
Yeah, it just deletes everything that Vigila does when it tries to win.
Yeah,
oh,
100%.
-2, or is it -3?
No, it just destroys each creature that enters the battlefield. I think.
Oh.
This turn. So
I can picture the art, but that's about it.
Yeah, we're so good at being able to use the internet while we're talking about cards to pull them up.
Right, exactly. So
I do agree that creatures are getting a little out of hand right now.
Yeah, there's they're basically uncounterable in the format right now.
Yeah, so there's so few ways to counter them, and then on top of that, the creatures that we're playing are not like susceptible to Bowmaster. So we wind up in these weird situations where we're all just staring at a bunch of fat creatures, and like Tim is getting slightly worse, and now the Krom is the primary attacker. It's just we're hitting a weird space for sure. Yeah, so Force of Despair, 1BB. If it's not your turn, you may exile a black card from your hand rather than pay its spell mana cost. Destroy all creatures that entered the battlefield this turn. That is some spice.
Yeah, we need to buy out Force of Despair immediately.
Yeah, right now. from Jorman's words here. To killing tournaments everywhere.
Yeah, he's definitely cooking.
That's for sure. Speaking of cooking, how do you stay up on the meta, Kai?
Oh, so this is a funny thing. So when I originally got into CDH, I would read primers in my spare time. So I would just go to the database or whatever available source there was at the time, and then I would just read everybody's primers up and down and learn every card in it. And then when new decks come out, then I read all their primers, and then I just keep reading primers to learn what's going on. And then you eventually start to figure out kind of where each new deck is going once you just read all the ones from the past. So, like, checking out the outdated section on, the database, you can figure out which strategies were prevalent and which cards work best with those strategies. And then the cards that come out now or the decks that come out now, you can kind of figure out where they're headed.
So you, correct me if I'm wrong, would effectively be able to look at a commander pair, not a commander pair, but a commander, and go, I know at least 70 cards in your deck.
Yep.
Plus, and the unique cards too.
Yep, absolutely.
We have a similar approach to that because I don't want to say I have a lot of free time, but like I have a lot of free time where I could stare at my phone typically in the mornings, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, after my morning coffee, where I tend to do a lot of my thinking and reading. And that's exactly what I would do is before like the innovation of EDH Top 16, I would literally go on to the Lab Maniacs site, whatever that was, I can't even remember, and I would go on to the CDH, what is it called?
Decklist database.
Yeah. Yep. And I would read everything and memorize the list because Chris, formerly of us, instilled in me a long time ago. So like when Max, when you were talking about Derevi and not like the most non-magic, like I had that, I still to this day have that list ingrained in my memory. And I just replace like how to do basic math in my brain with deck lists. So I feel that, Kai. I understand you. I see you.
I'm glad. I'm happy to be seen, dude.
Meanwhile, I'm like the antithesis of innovation. I'm like, I want a list that works. I can make nuanced changes as like meta calls and such, but I accept that I'm not a brewer. Like, it's not my strategy. My strategy is much more at the table.
Yeah, so you're really good at like executing game matches and understanding the rules and things like that.
Correct. Yeah.
That might be pushing it, but no.
y'all only see me on like digital games where it's much harder for me to interpret everything because I'm not used to it. Because I have not been a part of the digital space for nearly as long as anyone. Like, I didn't play I played one game of Commander on Spelltable during COVID. And like, that was it. And that was with like friends before I was into CDH. So having to pay attention to everything, not being able to see people and read people's body language and whatnot, is a huge disadvantage for me. And it's harder for me to object track like everything that everyone's doing online.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that's probably the hardest part about like online tournament CDH is I can't pick up on like body language. Like, I can like wave at people when I'm sitting across from them and gesture certain things, and it has more of an impact other than just my voice and the cards that are on the table. So I feel you on that one.
Right. Like, half the time, if I'm sitting across from somebody, I can tell you half the cards in their hand based on like the way they're approaching the game, based on what their deck is. But online, I can't do that half as well, just because it's like, it's so much less personal, and I think it's missing half of that skill. It's like switching from in-person poker to online poker, where it's incredibly hard to bluff comparatively, just because everybody's sitting behind a screen rather than that facial interactions.
Yeah, and it really shows, because as we like transition from online to in person, people get really they get excited when they draw cards sometimes. You can see it on their face and they're like, oh wow, that's a really good card. And sometimes that's all the information you need to make a game action.
Yeah, 100%. It's one of the, I think that's also one of the least trained skills. That's probably the least trained skill in gameplay at this point, because of how all these people are coming from casual EDH, casual Magic, and digital Magic. So all these in-person events, people are just giving away free information or not knowing how to read tables or read people and figure out the threat evaluation that way.
Got to play your opponent before you play the game, in all honesty.
Yeah, exactly. That's I think that's the biggest part of what makes this competitive. Because there's a lot of flaws with our format in general, if you look at it from a game theory perspective. But the adding in the social aspect of it, having to game the social aspect, I think is what brings it from not being competitive to being an actual competitive format for sure.
Yeah, no, it's I have a thing where like I'm very fidgety. That's what I was telling before we started here, because I keep muting and I'm muting myself. But I'm very fidgety. So like when I'm playing, and you guys have all played with me online and in person as well, I will put my, I'll memorize my hand, put my hand down, and I'm like not even looking at the table. My eyes are wandering everywhere else, but like where they're supposed to be, because I'm just, I don't want to say I'm bored, but like, I'm just like, huh, look, huh. How much time's left? In, oh, there's that much time left around. Oh, look at that. Oh, I'm hungry. What can I get? Like, my mind is just racing on almost every other thing. And then, like, somebody will make a play, and I'll be like, yep, no, that's good. And, you know, it'll go through. I know I did this to Max a couple times where I just went through an entire set of, like, combo. And then I'm like, all right, cool. This is the payoff piece. Cool. I'm going to counter it. And they're like, you sandbagged that entire time? So, yeah. I wouldn't call it sandbagging.
Yeah, ADHD yeah. to your advantage.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, I have the same issue ADHD-wise. Like, if I'm not caffeinated and not medicated, I'm, like, all over the fucking place. And it's terrible.
I mean, I'm always caffeinated, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, I ran out for, like, 3 days. I usually have a stock of energy drinks, and, like, I didn't get to order Amazon on time. So the last 3 days have been a little bit of a struggle until I got my shit in today.
What kind of energy drink
for overnight shipping?
What kind of energy drinks you drinking? I just got into energy drinks.
I'm a big advocate for Reign, mostly because I am incredibly caffeine resistant, and they are 300 milligrams of caffeine per can, and unlike Bang, which is the same caffeine milligrams, they don't have creatine in them. Just because I'm not looking for them as a pre-workout or anything like that. I want them purely for the caffeine. And they're also a amino acid, like a branch chain amino, so they help with recovery rather than that. So overall, and I think they taste the best out of most of the other stuff compared to Gamer Fuel that I absolutely hate. G Fuel is like disgusting to me.
Oh, that's what the G stands for in G Fuel? It's Gamer Fuel?
Uh-huh.
That's kind of cringe.
Yeah, a little bit. But I highly recommend Reign. Tropical Storm is one of my favorites right now. And then the Reign Storm flavors, if you can find them, are much like truer to fruit juices, carbonated fruit juices. And they're like, you get peach and Valencia orange are both slamming.
It sounds very pleasant, honestly. I think I might try that out.
Yeah, I highly recommend. If I see you at the Tournament of Kings in PA, I'll bring some for you.
Oh yeah, all right, that's more of a reason to go now.
I unfortunately won't be there.
Oh boo.
Yeah, I decided to be the good boyfriend, and girlfriend is turning 30, so I'm throwing a funeral for her 20s. So surprise. Oh, yeah. She doesn't listen to this, so it doesn't matter. So
I guess it's a good time since we kind of mentioned it. Billy, your home store right now, Sword in the Stone, is planning a 4K, right? 4K event for February 17th. The other website says 4K, so somewhere between $3,000 and $4,000 in prizes will be up for grabs at Sword in the Stone, as I go and Google that and figure out which one it is. But it's going to be really fucking cool. This is the only LGS that I know that can naturally hold 128 people with no questions asked.
4K.
And it's in... Okay, it is a 4K. I thought so. It's going to be a really clean tournament. The organizer always gives away way too much stuff and puts all of the players super first. And we're going to have a great staff, some really cool casters, and hopefully people like Kai will be there alongside me, and some other people who I know have been noticing the event will be coming through. And it's going to be one of the only gold events that pop up in the Northeast, so I highly, highly recommend for anybody listening to come out to Sword in the Stone for the Tournament of Kings 4K gold event. Check
it's
out
called King's Court, actually.
King's Court. I'm sorry.
King's Court.
Yeah.
Tournament of Kings is definitely better.
Yeah, but... I think, yeah. But that is a store name, unfortunately. It's already taken.
Exactly. And there was there was something else TJ messaged me. Shout out TJ. Hey, know you're listening. Thank you. Messaged me about whatever the name was they chose beforehand, and that was another event. And he's like, "Do you think I should change it?" And I'm like, "Yes, yes, you should." What? Why was that a question?
Yeah, we don't need any more confusion in this community. But yeah, catch us there for sure. Make sure not to let this sell out, because I think once it gains some notice and some traction, because it's one of the few gold events with a really nice big prize, it's gonna disappear very quickly.
I did also mention to them that if you couldn't tell, everything, because it's called Sword in the Stone, everything is like King Arthur Knights of the Round based.
Yeah, obviously.
Go That's figure. Like my favorite part of that story.
Right? Right? Same. Listen, I wanted a couch, then I wanted thrones for the casting booth, but I got neither of those, so I'm very upset about that. But
we need a sword. We need like a championship sword for these events, man.
Honestly.
There's a couple people there who are, I don't want to say blacksmiths, but like amateur blacksmiths, kind of, that could definitely do that. I just don't know if the mall would allow that.
Well, why? If you don't tell anybody,
yeah,
they tell will.
It's not like they're selling swords, they're just giving away a sword. Like,
That's true. But I told him if we hold monthlies, we can name each monthly after one of King Arthur's Knights of the Round, because there's 12 of them.
Oh shit! So somebody can get knighted after a king, after a knight every month.
You be called Lancelot, be called Gwen. Isn't Gwen one? I think Gwen's one. Anyway,
you could be Sir Alchemist.
Yes, sir.
Sir Fervent Alchemist.
Yeah, I'm ready. Can we get these swords? Can we get these in production now?
I'll see what I can do. I'll get on that.
We'll take a picture at the end of whoever wins, literally just getting knighted, and post that on social. Oh, this is hype.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, I'm there every month if that happens, dude.
Ryan, I know you don't have the attention span to listen to this, but if you don't do this, you're missing out so hard.
See, Ryan does not, but TJ does, and he's listening right now. I see you, TJ. I hear you. I hear you breathing into your microphone right now. Yeah, that's right. You hear me. I'm talking to you.
All right. We've definitely made this event better. Now let's get back to the meat and potatoes of CDH. Do you have any strategies that you like to build around in particular, or it really is just like off the wall, whatever you think is going to attack them into the best?
Usually I try to just do whatever speaks to me, but I'm starting to come around to the idea that maybe I'm just more of like a graveyard focus or like extra zone focus kind of brewer. Because I started with, I think the first video I uploaded was like Galen Sign, which is a graveyard deck. Then Rigo, which is a graveyard deck. Then there was Zamon and Dina, which is a Hulk deck, which is actually a graveyard deck. Then I have like Narset, which is a Breach deck, which is a graveyard deck. So I'm starting to, you know, have something going for graveyards now.
It sounds like you just like the second hand that comes with just filling your yard.
Yeah, because if it's not an exile in it, then it most definitely will be the graveyard, because I've been looking at a Ruth, but, you know, there needs to be a newer Ruth person. So I don't know about that.
Anytime you come against Fervent Alchemist in a tournament, everyone, just remember Mulfer, turn one Graft Digger's Cage.
But the thing is, I'm patient enough to play with it on the board.
Fair. Definitely hits you on the back foot, but I'm sure you can outweigh it and wait for somebody else to remove the stacks piece and just go off.
Yep, exactly. I'll save all the counter magic for the person trying to move it.
So what's been your favorite? I mean, you could tell, we'll say in the past year and a half, 2 years, what's your favorite brew that you've made so far? Because, I mean, I have an idea which one it is, but, like, I'll let you say it.
Oh, dude, it's probably, well, here's the thing. I usually, when I have a brew that I'm, like, kind of proud of, I usually get an altar. And I'm starting to make it a tradition. If I make something original, I just get an altar now, but I think it might be Narset.
That was exactly what I thought.
Yep. I think it might
you
be nice.
That deck so much. That's why, like, you, that was your deck. Like, and it was the one deck that, like, personally, normally I could take a look at the deck. Like you said, take a look at the deck, go, okay, cool, I see the strategy here. I looked at the deck, but I have no clue what the fuck you're even thinking about doing. Like, how, what? And then, like, I saw it executed, and I went, oh, okay, that makes more sense now.
Yeah.
Looking at that deck, it kind of feels like a Jeskai Send triplets deck almost. Because you have to play with all of your opponent's stuff without drawing the ire of slamming Send triplets on the table.
Yeah, like Send trips. I've also looked at Send trips before, and it's just too much of an investment for 5 mana, and then you have to wait another turn. Right. And like, yeah, so that's a pretty cool comparison.
Yeah, it's like you just made turbo Send triplets, and like, fuck you, I'm gonna take your shit. You've thrown it away, it's mine now. Narset the Trash Goblin.
Yeah.
That's what the altar needs to be. It just needs to be a Trash Panda Narset.
Yeah, Trash Panda.
His altar came in, right, Kai? You got yours in recently?
Yeah. Shout out to Modfly Altars. I got a, this is my favorite X-Men. I got Magic from X-Men. The Russian
pool.
Yeah, okay. Ileana Rasputin.
It was really hot. I saw that you got that right before the last event that we were at together, right?
When
we
were actually back
at Sword in the Stone. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot that was the first event I played it at.
Yeah, Modfly does incredible work. The man is a genius, but
yeah, I love him. If you have a chance to support him, please do. He does great work.
If you can get into his books, which are booked out for like the foreseeable future.
So where are we at now? What are you guys brewing?
Life. No, I'm like I said before, I'm in like a weird space where I don't really know what my direction is. I thought Derevinaz would like be good, but I spent 2 events just like staring into the void of not playing Magic for like a total of 10 rounds.
Mm.
Like I even managed to make top 16 by winning a single game and drawing 4 games in 1 event. Which is miserable, by the way. Highly, highly don't recommend.
Wait, with Derevi?
Yeah, Derevi.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's just too slow. I felt behind every single game. And now I don't know where I'm going. For right now, I'm probably going to take a pedal back and go back to Thrass Vile, since I had such success on that deck, because I think I was 9 straight top 16s on it.
Yeah, that deck is a menace. So what would you think? Yeah. What would you say you're good at when it comes to CEDH?
Oh, God, he's flipped the interview. God,
guys, this is great.
I got to know.
With CEDH, I'm good at figuring out what to anticipate as far as the meta is concerned and then playing the table. Not so much as, like, talking the table, but being able to read the table. I don't try and convince the table to do what I want. I just read and anticipate who's going to do what to be ready for it as much as I can. And point out threat assessment, because I'm very good at understanding who and what are the main threat. If you ever ask Norman what playing with me is like, he'll say something like, oh, it's crazy, though, because he told me what I was going to do before I knew it. And it's just something along the lines of my bad dormant accent.
Yeah, that was kind of rough. Like,
it was really rough.
you can include it. Same area. Number two,
in a different room. You're both in New York. He didn't hear me. He probably yeah. See, I didn't develop an accent. I grew up not like my mother was a musician, so she didn't have an accent. And, like, she was speech trained, so I grew up without an accent. So I don't always have one or slip into one when speaking like that. And sometimes it gets cringe, as we saw. But
I won't tell anybody.
Yeah, it's okay. Just everybody who listens to this, which let's be honest, not super many people. But hey, maybe this will change that and I'll look like a dumbass.
I mean, I do that when I wake up in the morning. So, yeah, it's my everyday. That's where I make my living.
Make your living in dumbassery.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I used to do, at least. I worked in retail.
True.
No, but you're definitely more of a reactionary gamer than you are like a proactive gamer, so to speak. So you definitely have a nail on the head there.
I've always been like when I was in 60 card, essentially my strategy was I'm going to make sure that you don't have time to go to the bathroom in between rounds.
Oh. Circle Lantern Control. We're building.
Yeah, I played Lantern Control. I played a lot of control decks. I played Jund way back in the day when Modern first became a format, and then I played Amulet Titan shortly after that. in the time where it was Jeskai Control against Amulet Titan all over the place.
Also, back when Modern was very fun.
Yeah, back when Modern was like an actual Brewers format and not here's the newest Horizon set, build only from this, go. Yeah, I'm jaded, but hey, I miss those days. I miss when product releases meant something and like you got a sprinkling of new cards from Modern every set and it wasn't just here's the best deck in the format in a box. Which is why I think I'm in CEDH now, because we don't have that as much. We do get pieces every set. We do get a little sprinkling every once in a while that gets to change the meta and bring new things in. I, for one, would love to see bans, as I said in the last episode, just to shake up the meta more. And actually, that's a great question. Kai, if you could ban three cards in the format right now to shake it up, what would you ban?
Oh, jeez, dude.
Or unban. Or unban.
Unban
also shakes up.
Okay, because yeah. I'm the kind of person who's like, oh, EDH truly is a social format that you wouldn't ban anything. You just talk about what you don't want to play against. But if I couldn't ban,
we're talking CDH specifically, which is not about that, because we're all coming to the table knowing that we wanna turbo win.
Right. So I would unban probably Paradox Engine or
yeah.
or Gifts Ungiven. More yeah. realistically, Gifts Ungiven, because that could help a lot of decks in CDH, but Paradox Engine could kind of creep back into lower power EDH and could make a lot of people unhappy.
Yeah, I mean,
well, this is we're talking about feelings of regular EDH aside. Like, we don't care what happens to casual EDH, because that can be their own format with their social contract. This is specifically if we're talking about CEDH as a format and us playing decks and shaking the meta. Like, if you didn't have to care about casuals, what would your answer change?
Nah, I don't think it would change. I think I would still do Gifts Ungiven.
Paradox Engine, just Gifts Ungiven.
It's, but there's also like Raphelos. Raphelos, right? Is that the? Yeah, I feel like that can come off too.
I mean, there's tons of cards that can come off that would have like no impact in our format, right?
Yeah,
because they're not good enough anymore for CDH.
Yeah, yeah, you can straight up pretty much unban everything on the ban list and it'll be fine.
Well, I don't know about the Moxes. The Moxen.
Well,
yeah, the power can stay banned.
Power 9. Yeah.
Can yeah. stay banned.
Like, their Grizzlebrand can stay banned. Honestly,
give me Grizzlebrand. I got to play with that for like 3 days.
Yeah, Grizzy is just too much. It's too much power.
No, Grizzlebrand is reanimator shell. Banned. That's right.
In the 99 or the command zone.
In either. Unfortunately. Mm. He's insane both as a commander that if you can cheat him out draws 32 cards, something crazy. But in the 99, if you're like you're playing black white or you're playing any black X multicolor deck, you can straight up do what Tin Fins and Legacy does, only with 40 life. So you can like play that stupid one drop that gains all the life that you lost this turn to draw basically your entire deck.
Martyr of the white one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What does the martyr do?
It says sacrifice it, gain life equal to the life you lost this turn.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you just like draw down to 35. So you draw 35 cards if you're at 40 and go to 5 life and then crack that and then go up to 40 and then draw 35 cards and then find a way to reanimate the white creature. To sack it to gain 35 life and draw 35 cards.
Wow! No, you'd like, actually gain more. Or,
yeah, you'd be able to draw more. You'd at that point you'd get 70 and then 135 or something like that, or 195. It's something silly. It exponential return of just like being able to abuse Grizzlebrand would just be very bad for the format, I think.
Give me Leovold back.
Leovold.
Leovold would be fun. I'd be super happy to see that.
That's actually one of the first decks I tried to brew in CDH.
I was living in Jersey, and my buddy Wilson, we were going for game night. Leovold came out. I put it all together. I played one game with it, and I went, I feel dirty, and I'm a dirty stacks player, and I handed it to him, and I said, you go ahead, play it. This is like one of the only times he's ever not played Frog. And he goes, I'm having a blast. I said, I'm so glad you are, because I felt wrong. That deck was a problem.
I built it, and like I got all the cards from. I'm like, yes, I can't wait to play my first game of CEDH with the boys. And then they're like, Kai, it's banned. Got banned yesterday. I was like, what? And then I had to move to Tassiger, and it wasn't the same deck.
Me with Hull Breacher. Gifts definitely needs to come back. We need gifts.
My partner wanted to play a casual Leovold deck, which I don't know how you do casual. She just wanted a Sultai deck, and there were no Sultai creatures at the time. So she wanted to play this, and like she just got her Leovold, and then it took an axe, and then she became obsessed with playing Tiny Leaders so that she could still play Leovold.
Do people still play Tiny Leaders to this day?
So there's a new server about it for Tiny Leaders Reformed. That's gaining a lot of steam, and they do a lot of Discord stuff. It seems fun. People care about the ban list again. We've had enough cards printed where the format's no longer solved. Because it used to just be like Marith and like one other deck that took over that format. It got very stale.
Grixis Umezawa.
No, it wasn't Grixis Umezawa. That deck was cool, but like it wasn't as good as some of the combo decks that were out at the time. Especially Umezawa does nothing. But it was its revival is taking steam, I think. They have over 1,000 people in the Discord server, which means it should probably be something real. But hey, who knows? Definitely something I would pick up and play, though, if other people were ever interested.
I still despise Tiny Leaders, so I'm good there.
Maybe I'm gonna play some Oathbreaker or something.
God. I really want more people to get into Pauper CDH.
Oh, I have a deck.
I also have. I have three decks, yeah. Actually.
Okay, sick. If we can all get together, maybe the Sunday, Billy, you can come to Sword in the Stone and play that day during the event. If we all me and Kai scrub out and play some Pauper CDH.
Okay, it's a 2-day event.
It is. Yeah, it's a 2-day. It's a 7-rounder or 6-rounder.
Cool. All right. I will definitely have to do that then. Because I have, I'm playing the Weavers in CPDH.
Or Popper. Oh, PDH. The Twiddlestorm?
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I have Twiddlestorm. I have Armix Ghost. And I have Abdel Adrian and whatever the blue thing is.
My three are very different from your guys.
Yeah, what you got?
I'm running Cormella.
Oh, nice. That is really cool.
That is an uncommon. Mayhem Devil. And Perfectus Scab. I forget. It's a blue-black scab that's an Archaeomancer in the command zone. So blue-black Archaeomancer loops.
Oh, wow. That sounds really cool. I recently learned that... What's that card? It has like, it's like one blue and black, and it has, you can pay X whenever it enters the battlefield, and you can cast target instant sorcery from a graveyard. What's it called? Oh, I can't remember what it's called. It's from the fairy tale set.
Oh, God.
Was it a common or an uncommon?
It's an uncommon.
Ooh, so it's commanderable?
Yeah.
That's very hot.
Oh, I can't remember the name of it. It's a fairy, too.
Somebody will tell us in the comments. It's okay.
Exactly. Hopefully.
All right. So I think
again, we covered sidetrack most... aside.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think we covered most of the topics on our list for today. Before we take look, excuse me. Before we take a look at some test hands for one of your most famous decks, what advice do you have for aspiring brewers and CDH players alike as they're getting into this format and what would you want them to have or what want them to know as they're coming into this format?
I would say don't get discouraged and don't give up too soon because you never know, maybe a set or two down the line, something might pick up and, you know, your deck might actually be good or you might figure out something else later on as you become a better player. But don't give up and don't get discouraged. And, you know, people are going to tell you you're playing something weird, or like they'll tell you you're like, you know, you have a bad deck or something like that. Keep giving them a reason to like not say that anymore and keep winning.
Yeah, that's huge. Definitely solid advice for sure. Like we're in a 4-player game, right? So your 25% win percentage is being perfect, right? So if you're above that, you're like ahead of the game. But if you're not quite there, that doesn't mean you're not doing good. It just means that you have improvements to make, and you'll get there as you keep winning. I know that's a big struggle for a lot of people, is they feel like they don't win every game, and they're like, well, this deck sucks now, so fuck it. But it's not the case. It's a lot of trial and error and a lot of being patient and accepting variance and everything else that goes into this format.
You have a 75% chance to lose every game. You're already going into the game with with this odds being out of your favor. So
yep.
You gotta take the wins when you can get.
Yeah, there's also people in my videos who complain that I don't upload winning games. I'm like, dude, you gotta lose sometimes. Sometimes you gotta lose.
Can't just be perfect.
Exactly. Yeah,
I think there was a thread about that recently on the Twitter space of like, it's not always about winning, and like tournament reports that we all kind of do now as we're going through our days of our events. It's like, oh, some people just stop posting once they've started losing. It's like, no, I'll take my L's and I'll admit to them, and like they're all learning opportunities, really, right?
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes actually was said to me by one of my bosses at my job when I lived in Jersey. She literally goes, you know, nobody's perfect. If they were, they would stop putting erasers on pencils. And like she said it the first time to me, and I went, what? That doesn't make any sense. And then I thought about it, I'm like, oh man, why'd you have to go that deep? That's so like
yeah, mistakes are supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But the fact that you learn from it is really what makes it. So aside from, you know, I know we're gonna get into like the deck and stuff like that. I'm teasing everybody with it. I know you have your YouTube channel, but what else do you do for the community? I know we've had a conversation about something else that you do for you guys out there. What else do you do?
I also organize the Philly CEDH Discord, and I organize us to play maybe like once a week. And I kind of update the Discord and have everybody updated on tournaments that are local. And, you know, that's what I try to do. I try to organize. Yeah, am I good at it? I don't know. You'll have to ask everybody else, but
the fact that you do that though is actually like, as somebody who like has the attention span of a squirrel, it's nice to have somebody that will actually just sit there and go, hey guys, there's this tournament happening here, or this and that and the other thing. Like I just add it. I had so many different message groups on Facebook of people asking me to play games for, you know, playtesting all my locals and stuff like that. I just said, here's my Discord. I said, I put a tournament prep and meetups area. I'm like, just figure it out there. Everybody's invited. There you go. You know, I just spammed it to everybody. And like, that's the extent of my organization skills right there. I said, everybody else figured out themselves.
Yeah.
So yeah. I commend you for doing that.
Mine is I shout into the void, hey, my house is open, come play games, and people show up.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say, hey, my house is on fire, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, my house is on fire, come play games, let your cards burn here.
It's kind of cool. The house that I purchased and I'm living in currently, I have a stone basement, and it has like the perfect space. Like it's big enough because it's the entire downstairs. So it's big enough that I could have like two tables set up to run two different things, two different games going on at once, two different four pods. But it's extremely fucking cold right now.
I was actually thinking of having a 16 player tournament at my house just because I can finagle three tables downstairs and one table upstairs, and I can cast the table upstairs.
Feature match.
Well, yeah, exactly. Cool.
Yeah, please invite me to that. We can do like a potluck too.
So, oh, dude, okay. that would be super sick. I would absolutely have you over, and you could even stay. I have a bed, the spare bed in the house.
So you know what that reminds me of? I have to make sure I'm correct with this one. Excuse me. Is it the Smash? Yeah, it is. So, Smash Summit. No, it's not Summit. Yeah, it is. Right? The one where it's in the, it looks like it's in somebody's house, where they just go up to the side bedroom and just start playing. Do you guys watch Smash stuff at all or no?
No, I don't.
No.
I'm not in that world yet.
Okay, okay. That's fine. I'm adjacent. I used to Smash events for the Northeast up here by me, and which we have a surprisingly large Smash scene up here, which is really weird, but like, hey, it was cool. A lot of my friends were into it. I used to travel with them and stuff like that. I'm terrible at it, but I was really good at organizing it. So, you know, I ran a tight ship.
Yeah, that's also commendable. So yeah, you also get your hands dirty and community organizing as well. So yeah.
Yeah, not anymore though. They could fuck off.
Well, you're a vet, so you don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah, yeah, no, it wears on you. Doing that stuff really wears on you. I took those skills and I actually ran my local beer league softball league, and let me tell you, if you think like y'all look at the Twitter sphere of CDH and you think they are whiny sometimes.
Imagine grown men on a sports team who have no business being on a sports team.
Exactly. Grown ass adults are the absolute worst. It is mind boggling. I got calls and texts on 6 a.m. on a Sunday, my day off, my only day off, where I got all my adult stuff done. Hey, yo, bro, can I use the field? What? It's 6 a.m. Go to sleep. Well, we need the field. For what? Batting practice? Why? It's beer league fucking softball. Cut the shit out. And then, like, I had somebody literally bat flip. I don't know if you guys know what that means. They hit a home run. They threw the bat in the air. It came down and hit the umpire. Our umpires are older.
That's a no-no.
I literally said, you're suspended. Get out. Leave. Threw a temper tantrum. Temper tantrum? Adult. I got texts from him, his friends. No, you can't do that. I said, I can. You injured somebody. That's how this works. Because you decided to show off. Get out. Leave. But anyway, that's besides the point.
All right. Let's give the people what they really want. Let's get into some test hands.
Billy, yeah, what do you drink, screen. Ty?
Wait, what kind of drink?
What do you drink? You drink tea? What do you drink?
Yeah, I drink a lot of mint tea. It keeps the mind fresh. It just
and your breath.
Yeah, exactly too. Yeah, if you have ever met me, you'll notice quickly that my breath does not stink.
That's aside from the fabulous style, good smelling breath.
Yeah. I'm doing double finger guns, but you can't see it.
Pew, pew. All right. I guess Max is getting aroused enough that, you know, he really wants to. He's peeking right
these
now.
Hands. Give me these
you
hands.
Catch yeah,
these
you hands. Want them? You want to cast these hands?
Yeah, I'm going to cast these hands.
All right, so what deck are we talking about, Kai? What did you bring for us tonight?
Let's take a look at, hold on, let me see. I don't want to like click it all up in your ear right now.
Yeah, that's right.
But we got the K-9 and Fugitive Doctor.
Okay. Some Teamer Spice.
Okay, so how does this work? Do I just send it to me?
Oh, you could share your screen if you want. Okay. We can do it off you. We're doing it live.
Okay, cool.
You can put the porn away. It's okay. Unfortunately, nobody can see it.
Don't worry, I'm in incognito. We're good.
Oh, okay, okay.
All right, let's. I like never share my screen on Discord, so let's see if I can do this.
That's okay. So while you're trying to share that, tell us a little bit about the deck. Like, how's it play? What's its strategy? I know you briefly mentioned about the Transmute and Neoform Birthing Pod E for the K9 unit. Like, what else does it do?
So it's pretty much just a straight up Dockside deck. It pretty much just like it just plays Kanon on turn one almost 100% of the time. It just turns on all the free interaction. It's kind of like a blue Rograk if Ragnarok was blue and could pitch to like Transmute Artifact and Abjure, which is one of my the cards I actually owned when I started playing, and I'm finally getting to play it, so I'm very excited.
For those that don't know what Abjure does, it's one blue instant, sacrifice a blue permanent counter a spell. Straight up, that's what it does. It is one of the spiciest techs. I got really excited when he showed me this deck.
So, can you guys see my screen?
Just zoom in ever so slightly so we can see it.
I don't even know how to zoom, dude.
plus or scroll wheel up, control scroll wheel up, or the button right out.
How's this?
That's perfect.
This?
A little bit too much.
How's that?
So
this has got to be a pit.
In my opinion, I would pitch this hand. I would
100% pitch this.
So what we're looking at right now is Grinding Station, Force of Negation, Rejuvenating Springs, Bloodstained Mire, Mental Misstep, Misty Rainforest, and Big Daddy Docent. that hand literally does nothing, in my personal opinion. So, basically, just hit restart and
move to the next one.
All right. Read it off, Kai. What do you think about this one?
This is like, so we got Veil of Summer, Wheel of Fortune, Mana Confluence, Force of Negation, Deflecting SWAT, Mystical Tutor, and Tinderbolt. Very risky. It is a turn one dog with an interaction for Force of Negation and Deflecting SWAT, which would also turn into, if we're lucky, we get another land and the Tinderbolt can turn into a Wheel of Fortune. So,
see, my thought initially was turn one into a Tinder Wall, pass the turn, turn two, because you have your Force of Negation for backup, turn two, pitch, you know, whatever you draw, throw the wheel out there and see what happens.
Yeah, I like that a little bit better.
I was also on turn two wheel.
Yeah.
Landed the Tinder Wall seems like it's much better. So we know where we're keeping this hand just because we think we can force a turn two wheel. What's the top card? Did we get punished?
All right, watch this. Check the land. No, it's LED.
punished. That actually makes turn two wheel a lot better.
Yeah.
Then you just hold priority, crack it.
Yeah. And then I would definitely play this land and play the Tinder Wall.
Yeah, because that's your first draw, so you'll know that one. So cool.
Yeah. All right. Send it back.
Do another one.
Well, this one's what?
Oh my gosh. Max, you go ahead and read this one out.
Oh boy. We have a Mox Opal, a Deflecting SWAT, Rejuvenating Spring, Lotus Petal, Intuition, Mana Crypt, Summoner's Pact. If we don't keep this, we're dumb.
Correct me if I'm wrong, this is a turn two win.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm almost positive, because you could end step cast your Intuition and then set up for a Breach, cast a Summoner's Pact. That's only green creature, so that doesn't matter. Yeah. Well, you get Daddy Dosin with it, but no, you don't even want to do that. But yeah, that's a turn two win.
No, this is turn two breach, yeah. This is end step intuition in to put the pile in the grave.
With protection.
With protection. Swat. Well, the only thing is, how are we getting the card out of the yard that we need? Because we're not in white. We don't have...
You want to show them the deck?
Show them the card?
Woo! All right, so we got to get the Dryad's Revival in there.
Yes, so what's the intuition pile? Yeah.
So the intuition pile is Breach, Dryad's Revival, and a Lion's Eye Diamond. And everybody always gives you the Lion's Eye Diamond because it's the most compromising card to give you because you have to discard your hand. So that just discounts the Dryad's Revival by 3. So it ends up costing 5. So we'll have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the next turn. And then, yeah, I guess it is a turn 2.
Wow. That's impressive. Okay. GG.
Right. Nice. We doing another one? Or are we?
Let's do one more and then we'll wrap up.
Okay.
That was too clean. We can't end on something that clean. We have to discuss anything.
All right, check it out. All right, Billy, this one's yours.
Or not. I'll go ahead and read this up. We have a Simeon Spirit Guide.
So Talisman. I was reading the entire time. I was just muted.
All right. Go ahead, Billy. Cut that out.
No, I'm not going to cut it out. I'm going to leave it in for my own incompetence. Okay. Simeon Spirit Guide, Talisman of Curiosity, Summoner's Pact, Stomping Ground, Mindbreak Trap, Chain of Vapor and Jessica's Will. This is a pitch.
Yeah, get it out of here. How about you, Max? You agree?
Probably if we're trying to go turbo, but like maybe into a slower pot, I might keep this. Just because like you can land, pitch, play Talisman, and then you're guaranteed to have two mana holding up a Chain of Vapor. So it's not the worst thing in the world. And then you still get to hold up a Mindbreak Trap to stop like the Rog'Sai decks if they're at the table. Sure. But definitely mid like to risk reward. Because it is still a turn one dog also.
Yeah, 100%.
And I mean, you have to go your SSG. Yeah. Nah, I'd still pitch this.
Fair. All right, if it's a land, then we keep it. Nope.
Oh, you never look. You never look. It breeds bad.
We're gaming. All right, so that was the last one.
Yeah. Okay, this is kind of cool. Hold on. We're still on that hand, though. We mulliganed.
Yep.
So we have Woodenfoot Hills, seven. Tropical Island, Stomping Ground, Grinding Station, Jessica's Will, Ragavan, and Gamble. Now, if my math is correct, this is actually a turn three win.
If we don't discard what we need to gamble, yeah.
Well, so it's turn one, Stomping Ground, or what it feels. It's probably just Taiga. Grab Taiga, play the Ragavan. Turn two, play the dog and gamble. Gamble for Breach, probably.
Yeah, gamble for Breach. You got to play the dog because it's right. Like a grinding station. So.
Right. And then turn three is J Will, grinding station, if it's still there, of course. And whatever else you gambled for. I mean, you gamble again for whatever card you need from your graveyard because it's in the graveyard now.
Yeah, we can take the risk on this hand. That seems fine. It's not super strong. Like, I don't... That, praying on the gamble like that after we've played so many cards out of our hand is rough, but still push. Still go for it, right?
So would you say you gamble now or do you gamble later?
I'm a big fan of gambling after the Ragavan.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, definitely turn one Ragavan. I actually wouldn't play my second land until I gambled, though.
Same.
Mm. Yeah, it's fair. Likewise. I think I would also fetch for a Volcanic Island, so it ups the Breach count.
Yeah.
So I would probably do that on turn one as well. But yeah, I think it's risky.
We risk it for the biscuit. Make them have it.
Yeah, risk it for the doggy biscuit, actually.
Yeah, exactly. What a good boy Canine is.
Nice.
Speaking of good boys, so AGDQ just started yesterday. It's Awesome Games Done Quick, and it's one of my favorite things is AGDQ and SGDQ speedrunning. And this one, they actually had the guy trained his dog to speedrun a game. So what? He was literally like with the dog, and he made these special paddles for the dog. It was a Sega Mega Drive or 32X game. That quite literally all there was two buttons where just it lifted different levers and stuff like that. It was called gyrite. I don't remember, but anyway, and he literally was like, all right, cool, you know, paw, and it was like putting the paw on the correct paddle and it was lifting up these levers and stuff like that, and a little character was moving across the screen, and I'm like, this is absolutely insane.
the dog is gaming.
So the canine unit's definitely gaming. So I guess at this point in time, we're going to let Max and you guys go, even though we're having a blast, since Max decided to, throw a whole shindig and not invite us, Kai.
I know, right?
You know, one, you're like 3+ hours away. Two, at this point, we've lost everybody's attention span. And three, I just want to play Magic.
Facts.
All right, no problem. So we'll send it off with that. Max, where can the people find you?
You can find me at the Boil upcoming sold out 200 soon to be 220 seat event in Atlanta, Georgia, right in Stone Mountain. You could find me at any other Eminence event across the country this year, including the Celebration, the Top Deck Championship, and then you'll be able to find me on Twitter at TrickboundMTG or Trickbound on Discord.
Awesome. And Kai, how about you?
Yo, you can find me on YouTube at Fervent Alchemist, or you can find me on X at Fervent Alchemist, or you can find me at 95 Game Center this weekend, competing in their 64-player tournament, and I will be playing the dog there.
Very nice. I forgot to mention that you can also find me on the Eminence YouTube channel with Mr. Billy, playing CDH every Tuesday/Wednesday, depending on when this airs, for weekly CDH content and soon to be other stuff.
Yeah, other stuff.
Other stuff.
Other stuff.
I'll let you ponder what other stuff is.
No, let your minds wander. Just remember, Chunky Chaps for cheap. Sign up. $5. You're good. Anyway, so I'm Billy, Commander and Coffee. You can find me there. CMDR_coffee, as always, on Twitter or X, whatever it's called. I hang out in a bunch of different Discord servers. You could just ping me and I'll probably be around. I can make some arrangements to play some games and stuff like that. I won't be at the next Sword event. I will definitely be at Punt City 3, which sold out in a 20 minutes flat. It was astounding. That is a record for how fast that sold out. I've been keeping track for the past 3 years for it. It's been averaging about 23 minutes, give or take, to sell out. I think the first one was a couple days. Punt City 2 was around 30 minutes.
Punt City 1 was a few weeks. I don't want to misconstrue anything. That was our first event ever. We got there. It took a few weeks. We didn't think it was going to sell out, but it did. Punt City 2 sold out during my plane ride to Silicon Dynasty, which I think the official time was like 58 minutes. And then this event blew both of those out at 21 minutes officially.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane, which it's always a good time. It's I was having a conversation with somebody earlier today. None of these guys. But Punt City and its mythos, we'll say, is more of a hangout than it is just a tournament. It's a lot of like the gathering place for a lot of, it's more about the gathering and Magic the Gathering than the actual Magic. So but yeah, you'll be able to find me there. I'll be wandering around. I look like the mix between Al Borland, Danny DeVito, and Gimli, as if they all had like one love child. That's me. I am that love child. It's unfortunate to say, but yeah, it's true. I need to talk to somebody about that, definitely. Anyway, so with that, I'm Billy. That's Max, and thank you so much, Kai, for coming on. It's been an absolute riot. It's always a good time talking to you.
Oh, likewise. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Anybody else have anything else? Because I'm all out of coffee.
I'm all out of caffeine.
I gotta go make some tea right now.
Hell yeah. All right, good night, everyone, or goodbye, everyone. Whatever it is. See you later.
Bye.
Later.